And now Springbok Radio invites you to lean back, put your feet up, and spend the next half hour with the Boner, Briefcase, and Brolly Brigade.
Then drop the mini speed.
Once again, our story takes us to that hive of industry, the General Assistance Department in Whitehall. There we find Junior Executive Richard Lamb giving Secretary Mildred Murfin the hand.
Careful now, Mildred. We don't want any accidents like the last time.
Well, I'm better at it now, Mr. Lamb. Give me a hand. There, that's right. You needn't tremble so much, you know. I won't hurt you.
Well, I know you don't intend to, but look.
Just relax and try to keep your hand still. Mm-hmm. Then I'll be able to give you a lovely manicure.
You drew blood last time, you know.
Only because I got a shock when Mr. Lennox Brown came bursting in. That can't happen this time because it's only 10:30.
Morning, Mildred. Morning, Anakin.
Really, number two, most people say hello when the department head comes in, not...
Well, Tarzan, I'm sorry, number one, but Mildred stabbed me.
Really? Where?
In his thingy, Mr. Lennox Brown. His cuticle. I was giving him a manicure, you see.
At 10:30 in the morning? May I remind you that this is an establishment designed for work. Kindly get about your affairs, and I'm sure you have plenty to do, Mildred.
Oh, aye. There's that report about...
Well, get on with it, then. After you've made the tea, of course.
Mm. Of course. Here we go again. Tea. Get some nerves. Just get some that.
And the first thing you can do, number two...
Yes?
...is to stop dripping blood on the carpet. Or if you have to, you might at least try to blend it in with the pattern.
I think I'll have to report to the sick room.
Nonsense. A little bit of a scratch like that. Just shrug it off.
Well, that's all very well, but if it was your finger,
I know... It can't do you any harm, unless, of course, it goes septic.
Huh? Do you think it could?
No, not unless Mildred was using unsterilized instruments, and in that case, a wound like yours could be... could be very dangerous.
It could.
A really severe infection set in, it might lead to all kinds of things, you know.
Really?
Immobility of the joints, and, of course, if the poison spreads...
Poison?
Well, one doesn't like to talk about amputation,
Number two...
I don't know, these young people dashing off to the sick room for nothing.
Here we are, a lovely cup of cha. Hello, what's happened to Mr. Lamb?
He's gone to see a man about a jab. That's very good, that, you know, a man about
a jab. Is it? What's it mean?
Never mind. Just leave Mr. Lamb's cup and I'll drink it for him, will you?
Gone to see a man about a jab.
Oh, Mildred, what about a biscuit?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Lennox Brown, they've all gone. Ginger nuts, butter puffs, chocolate suggestives, the lot.
Oh, really? Bad planning. This department could do with a shake-up. Come in.
Good morning. May I speak to your inner man, if you please?
My inner man?
Yes. That's what I call my opening gambit. It comes from chest, you know.
That is really?
Yes. It excited your interest straight away, didn't it?
Well, I wouldn't say that, no.
Yes, I know, but you're all agog to know what comes next, aren't you? And here you are. Without further ado, as they say, introducing Snetherthwaite's speciality snacks. Bring them in, Lowell.
Just a minute,
it
please.
It won't take long to show you what she's got.
Well, I don't think I'm particularly interested, thank you very much. Now, if you'll kindly
Here we are. These are my dainty fingers.
Yes, and very shapely, I can see that, but would you mind...
Sausage skins stuffed with stewed cabbage.
Sausage skins?
That's right, yes. Sausage skins stuffed with stewed cabbage. Delicious they are, delicious. And only 10 pence each. A special introductory offer.
Well, thank you, but I've just put one out. I'm not allowed cabbage. The doctor said it's bad for my rheumatics.
Now, this is where Law can help you. Certain ailments respond very readily to Snetherthwaite's speciality snacks, you see, yes. Show him your poached and peppermint patties, Law.
I can't. I haven't got any on my tray. I've got, kippery clears,
oh, yes.
Tripe cakes, seaweed-flavoured crisps, and, of course, my prunes a la Law.
And what are they?
prune stuffed with licorice.
And very nice too, I'm sure.
Well, you see, Lord specialises in traditional English dishes, as you can see. Now, what do you fancy for lunch?
I think a couple of anti-nausea pills will do me, thank you very much.
I haven't got any of them either.
How about a carton of Snellisweight's Surprise?
I'm frightened to ask, but what is it?
We don't know. When Lowell's finished cooking, she takes everything she's got left over, mixes it up, pours a bit of vinegar over it for flavouring, and bungs it in cartons. 30p a time, cheap at the price.
But good heavens, a concoction like that might do anything to you.
I know, that's why we call it our surprise. Have one, only 20p.
But there were 30p just now.
Yeah, well, they've had time to go off a bit since then, you see. How about 10p?
Oh, thank you.
Well, have it for nothing. Special introductory free gift. My card. Call us when you need us.
Yes, I'll do that. And thank you very much,
thank
and goodbye.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Sorry.
Who were those two, number one?
The Smethershwaite speciality snacks. There you are. They left you a free packet of lunch. It's an introductory gift.
Oh, that's nice. How does the lid come up? Oh, and there we are, of course. Help! I've just taken away! Mildred!
Hi, Mr. Lamb.
No!
Open the window, I can't stop!
Oh, quick, number two, put that lid back on! Oh. Put it on, put the lid...
What on earth
is
better.
It?
Tripe cake and Kippery Clare leftovers.
Oh, it's revolting! Apart from the pong, I've never seen anything quite so repulsive.
Lennox Brown in lab.
Although, when I come to think about it...
I want a word with you, too.
Yes, of course, Sir Gregory. We're at your disposal.
I wish you were. There's one thing I'd like to do, Lennox Brown, is dispose of the pair of you.
Hmm? But why, Sir Gregory? Have we done something wrong?
Wrong? I come back from an exhausting weekend in the Amazon's arms.
Really, Sir Gregory?
It's a pub on the West Coast.
Oh.
I just come back from an exhausting weekend fishing, and what do I find? You've created havoc in Mugwump.
Mugwump, Sir Gregory?
Yes, the Municipal Union of Gas Workers and Underground Maintenance Personnel.
Oh, yes, the road menders. That was the affair you handled personally, number one.
You mean that request of theirs for a suggestion about how to protect road diggers from rats?
That's the one, yes.
Well, I took care of that immediately, Sir Gregory.
You did indeed, Lennox Brown. Mugwump is now threatening to strike.
But why? I gave them the obvious solution.
It might work in theory, Lennox Brown. But how many navvies do you think there are who are willing to keep a ferret up each trouser leg?
Does this mean I have to think of something else?
No, it means you'll keep your nose right out of it. I'll take care of the Mugwump mess. You two can handle the International Cuisine Contest.
Have we heard of that before, Sir Gregory?
Probably not, but you have now. Countries all over the world are sending their top chefs to Britain, and the tourist board is very keen on promoting the thing properly. Go and see a Mr. Pilkington Frith of the tourist board, and he'll tell you what to do. And need I say...
No, that's quite unnecessary, Sir Gregory, but rest assured, we won't make a mark of it.
Oh, good. I'll remember that. Hello, what's this, an unusual shape of carton? Something tasty inside, is it? I'm feeling a little peckish as it happens. I think I'll... Why are you two standing there with those two bulldog clips on your noses?
Sir, we won't lose them, Sir Gregory.
What a peculiar pair you are. Unusual flavour. Can't quite place it, but it's rather tasty. Yes, not bad at all. Snethersweight speciality snacks, eh? I must remember that.
Good heavens above.
Ooh. I mean, good heavens above, what a constitution.
Oh, that's another constitution that's been scrapped. Well, this seems to be it. Number one, tourist board, Milkington Frith. Come in,
we've been invited, I suppose. Well, let's go in.
Well, hello.
I'll see you back at the office, number one.
Come back here, number two. Mr. Frith, is it?
Oh, yes, but don't be so formal. You can call me by my nickname. All my friends do.
Oh, and what is that?
Pilly, from the Pilkington, of course.
Oh. Well, very well, Millie.
Pilly!
I'm sorry, yes, sir. We are Roland Lennox Brown and Richard Lamb from the General Assistance Department in Whitehall, and we've come to help you out.
Oh, super. Oh, what a day.
Yes, but it looks like it's going to rain. I think I'll just sneak home and collect my umbrella, number one.
Number two, come back here. Now then, Tilly.
Pilly!
Now, perhaps you'll be so good as to fill us in.
Of course, yes. Now, what super boys you are. I think I must ask for ministerial help more often. So there you are. That's the plan. Now we have to implement it. We have to give it drive, supply the impetus.
Well, of course, but that's our business.
Oh, how divine!
Mr. Frith,
I... Oh, please. Pilly.
Pillock, to be about right. I see that this list mentions competing chefs from 26 countries, but there's nobody down from Britain.
Oh, you're so clever to spot that. Oh, we couldn't possibly have a British winner of the International Cuisine Contest. That would be... Oh, disaster!
Well, it's highly unlikely, but I suppose it could happen.
Unthinkable. You see, Britain was famous for her terrible food. Famous! It was an absolute cornerstone of the tourist industry. They came here in their thousands simply to find out how bad it was.
And then?
Then it all improved, and the visitors stopped coming. Tourist industry's having such a bad time. So now we have to make sure that British food goes down again to get the tourists back.
But how do we achieve that if there's no British contestant at all?
Oh, you're missing the point, you silly boys. The whole idea of the International Cuisine Contest is to have a British contestant coming last. Marvelous headline value, marvelous. The question is, how do we make sure it happens?
Well, that's easy. Fiddle the judging.
Fiddle the judging? Richie, are you suggesting that we should promote a contest that is not completely fair and above board?
Oh, no, not at all.
All we want to do is to make sure that Britain comes last. Nothing underhand about that, is there?
Absolutely not. Good heavens, no. The
panel of judges will be international anyway, so we couldn't fiddle it. Anyway, I'll leave you two to work that one out. But do remember, it's vital. Absolutely vital. The future of the whole British tourist industry could rest on your shoulders. Lucky old tourist industry.
Number one, this is terrible. We've had 62 applications from cooks and chefs who want to represent Britain in the cuisine contest.
So?
Well, they can't all be bad. So how are we going to turn them all down in favor of someone we know can't possibly win?
That is all right, number two. I've been watching the applications quite carefully, and only one applicant's read the small type.
Hmm? Which bit's that?
The line saying that only British-born nationals with 50 years unbroken residence need apply.
Oh, there can't be many of those.
No, so far there's only one. As a matter of fact, I suggested that she should enter. There you are. See? Read it there. Lolita Snetherthwaite of Snetherthwaite's Speciality Snacks. How can't she lose?
Number one, sometimes when I'm with you, I feel as though I'm in the presence of a great man.
Oh, please, number two, you embarrass me. although I suppose I'd feel the same if I was sitting where you are.
So, Mrs. Snetherthwaite's Britain's official entry.
Not quite, but it's only a formality. It's a... Well, let's see. Hang on, it's 10 to 12, and entries close in 10 minutes, but we're hardly likely to receive any more before then.
Oh, my golly goodness me. I'm being close to being untimely, am I not?
Untimely for what?
For the application, man. Behold, in person, a Jarampasad Haribai Spoonila V. Mukherjee.
Much as I hate to ask, what does the V stand for?
Oh, very fine, top-notch, number one cooking wala.
Mr.
Rampasar Hari Wise.
Yeah, yes, quite. Well, Mr. Mukherjee, I'm sorry you've wasted your time, but I'm afraid you're not eligible.
I'm not being Ellie what, please?
Eligible. The rules state quite clearly the applications can be accepted only from British-born nationals with 50 years unbroken residence in the country.
Well, that is indeed correct, yes.
But it can't be. I mean, where were you born?
Bombay.
Well, there you are, you see.
Bombay Street, Birmingham.
But you're not 50 years old.
No. Too rightly you are being here.
Oh, really? Thank goodness for that.
I'm 50 and one more year.
51? But you don't look it. Can you prove it?
And you'll be unproving it?
But, thank you, number two. That will do. And then, Mr. Mukherjee, what is your experience of cuisine?
I've never been by that place.
I take it you're not a cordon bleu.
No, I'm a Gujarati.
All right, one more question. How do you make a Vienna schnitzel?
Oh, that is one exceedingly simple dish, yes. I'm taking the Venus and schnitzeling them into chota. chopping some more, and then I'm adding the curry powdering. And
curry powder in Vienna schnitzel?
Oh, that is giving it one mighty fine tasty, you know. If I'm putting in plenty too much curry powdering, then it is not mattering whether I'm schnitzeling the Venus or Venus in the schnitzel.
I see. And how are you on pies and patties?
Chapati?
Now, say a veal patty.
Oh, that one veal patty. Well, firstly, I'm cutting the head off from the veal. Then I'm filleting it by the one side. Then adding the curry powdering.
That's fine, Mr. Mukherjee. Thank you very much. That's all I needed to know. And congratulations, you are one of the official British entrants to the cookery contest.
Oh, shabash to me. Oh, indeed being mightily goodly news.
But number one, you've already got...
Would you mind, number two? Thank you, Mr. Mukherjee. Just leave the form with your address and we'll be in touch with you later.
Oh, my golly goodness. What an exceedingly kind gentleman you are being. May the bluebird of happiness be flying over your head for not eating too much curry powder.
Number one, what are you doing? There's nothing in the rules to say that you can have two British entrants.
And there's nothing to say you can't either. Think, number two, just think. The way Mukherjee cooks, he's got even less chance than Mrs. Snetherswaite's. Ooh, and won't that chap Pilkington Frith be delighted when the British entries finish last and second last, eh?
Yes, I see what you mean. What a pity we didn't think of it before.
We?
Yes. Then we could have had even more British contestants finishing at the bottom. That would really have put tourism on the map.
Yeah, well, it's too late now. It's 11:55. Pilkington Frith will be here in 5 minutes to complete the official list. That'll be him now, I expect. Come in.
Is this the Gennaro Assistance Department?
More or less, yes. What can we do for you?
My name is Meenal, Fino Meenal. I'm a chef.
Really? Well, you're only just in time if you're thinking of applying to take part in the contest.
Oh, I am, actually. International cuisine is my forte.
I hope his cooking's as bad as his pronunciation.
Yes. How bad are you? Mm. I mean, how good are you at the culinary arts, Mr. Meenal?
Well, I know nothing about them, but I'm an accomplished chef.
A la carte?
No, cul-de-sac.
Yes, yes, of course. That's very good. No, are you working as a chef now?
Chef.
Chef.
I'm at the Wayside Restaurant in Woolwich. Yes, it's a good pull-up for car men with a highly select clientele. Yes. Perhaps you'd care to peruse our menu.
Thank you very much. I would love to peruse it. What do you say here? Chop and chips with one egg. Chop and chips with two eggs. Chops and chips. Chops and chips with one egg. Chops and chips with two eggs. Pie, chips, and...
Yes. I can give them other vegetables, you know, if they like.
Of course, yes. I'm sure you could, yes. What's this here?
In this column here. That's
right.
Today's special. Melange de bouffe. Jambon, friandises, and Gennaro.
But what does it mean?
Fried ash.
You know, number one, I think Mr. Meenal might be the sort of chap we're looking for. Along the lines we were discussing earlier.
Yes. Mr. Meenal, if we were to put you in as one of the official British entries for the contest, what sort of dish would you prepare?
Oh, well, naturally, I've given that some thought. Obviously, the judges will be ladies and gentlemen with delicate palates.
What do the plates matter?
Not plates, number two. Palates. Delicate palates.
Oh, that's what I thought he said.
That's what I did say. Well, bearing this in mind, I will give them one of my gastronomic treats. Meatballs and mash with two in.
Mr. Meenal, you're in.
Oh, thank you so much.
Listeners, this is Priscilla Dredge to tell you something about the International Cuisine Contest that opened at Olympia today. What a sight it was! Competitors from all over the world, each with their own preparation table and stove. Gaston Dubois, that divine man from France, whose boned forehawk made me absolutely drool. And Hilda Dumergue of Belgium, who excited everybody with those enormous dumplings of hers. There were simply hundreds of spectators, of course, simply hundreds, all crowding round the spectators, the various competitors, to catch a whiff of some of the marvellous dishes being prepared. There was rather more than a whiff, I thought, from the corner occupied by Mrs. Lolita Snellerswaite, one of the British contestants. In fact, I did notice that several people around her table had swooned away. In ecstasy, no doubt. Mr. R.H.S.V. Mukherjee, another British entry, seemed to be having trouble with his cutlets in aspic and frequently had to send out for more curry powder. While Mr. Fino Meenal from Bootle appeared to make far too much mash and was having some difficulty locating his meatballs.
Well, that seems to be going all right, number two. Third last, second last, and last represents something of a triumph in cookery, I'd say.
Yes, absolutely right. won't Sir Gregory be pleased?
Can't be anything else.
There's no chance of anything going wrong, is there? None of them could win, could they?
Win with their kind of food? Really, don't be ridiculous, number two. What do you mean, win?
Yes, quite.
Win, he said.
With food like that.
What are you two laughing?
It was Lamb, Sir Gregory. He said. He said, I don't suppose any of the British entries could win the International Cuisine Cup.
Win it? That's why I'm here, you fool. You blithering, blundering pair of numbskull nitwits, they did win it.
What?
All three of them.
What?
Yes. I've just had the message. The tourist board people are furious. All the other competing nations are furious.
Anyone else, Sir Gregory?
Yes, I'm furious.
But they couldn't have won, Sir Gregory. The judges couldn't possibly have overlooked the others.
There were no others to overlook, that is right. They all stopped for lunch, and afterwards only the three British entries were able to continue, so the judges made them joint winners.
But why couldn't the others carry on, Sir Gregory?
Because they were all suffering from food poisoning after eating the three-fourths lunch. And do you know what they had for lunch, Lennox Brown? Cutlets in aspic, meatballs in mash, and prune surprise.
But why didn't the Snellerswaites, Mukherjee and Meenal end up poisoned too?
They didn't eat any. They decided they wanted to make a gesture to the organizers. So they saved their lunch for you.
What?
Bring it in, gentlemen, please. Bring it in. Now sit down, you two. You're going to have a lovely dinner.
Join the whole mad bunch at the same time next week for another romp down the corridors of power with the men from the ministry. Thank you.